2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
The Nightside Project. Finish the day happy, happy with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, this is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Alex Keery here. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Look at our episode frequency, Alex. It's getting better.
Gone up. It has gone up. That's a good point.
Getting better.
Yeah. Look, I'm excited to do this. Every time I get a chance that we can do an episode, I love it.
Well, you know, pretty soon we'll be back on top. Before long, we'll be KSL's number one podcast again. We just have to take care of that pesky Dave Colley and his cold podcast.
Like, can you really support a podcast that relies on tragedy to be able to get you some content? I mean,
I'm just trying to think of, is there a better mystery that we could solve?
We can find some. Yeah.
We can call it warm.
Okay, now I will say this. I read something the other day. So, you know who James Dean is?
Yeah, the actor.
Yeah, James, the actor? James Dean, who passed away in a car accident, of course. I think it was 1953, 1955, 1950s. And he's driving this this crazy, like, rare Porsche. I mean, rare in the sense that, like, they weren't even, you know, it was a roadster that they had made. And anyway, he was kind of, I think he was trying to, like, he was going to race it.
1955.
Yeah, so he was racing, and he had this crazy cool Porsche. It was, like, silver. Anyway, somebody didn't see him. And anyway, he was flying down, I think, up in Los Angeles Hills. And anyway, he died, right? Now, the car, the mangled car itself was, like taken around and shown as like a, hey, be safe driving type of thing. Remember when you're in high school and they like brought a wrecked car and they're like, don't drive drowsy or don't drive drunk on prom night. They did that at my high school. And so in this one, they showed that car on display for a long time to be like, hey, the danger of driving too fast. So then at some point, the mangled car got stolen. Okay. Some of the pieces were taken off of it. The mangled car got stolen. Right now, like the rear axle is like the original rear axle, because that wasn't the main chassis of the car was stolen, and like the, you know, the big bulk of it was stolen, but there's still only one piece still like around that they know of.
Wow.
And the mystery is that it's been packed away somewhere and somebody knows where it is. You know what I mean? The chassis,
sure,
they think at auction would likely go for between $10 and $15 million.
Oh geez. Yeah. You're kidding.
So I mean, a wrecked Porsche, right? The axle that they found, it's just this like rear axle thing. It's going right now. It's at auction for like $150,000. It's got like 2 weeks left at the auction. $150,000 for this rear axle does nothing. It was just in the car accident, right?
That's,
I'm saying,
amazing.
If you and I can find that Porsche,
I've got Wikipedia.
Yeah, what
up
does
here.
It say? The Porsche.
It was a Porsche 550 Spyder.
Spyder 550 Spyder. Yes. So if we can just find that, then we'll be good. And then we won't need your ten to fifteen million downloads, because we'll have $10 to $15 million. You know what I'm saying? So
now,
I'm just saying, would you be willing to go down that road?
Yes. So absolutely, I would. So when I was growing up, you know what car they would drag around to high schools?
What?
In that same way, they had it on a trailer, was completely demolished.
It was to scare you, right?
It was John Stockton's car.
Oh, from that crash in Spain, or where it was like before the Olympics, right?
I don't know. I just know that it was John Stockton's car, and they would drag it around, park it out in front of a high school.
Yeah, that was some morbid stuff. What was our problem? Because that's like just scary. Remember, we used to have to watch those videos in Driver's Ed that would scare you too. Be like, this guy died, and they'd show it.
I remember one. You can find it on, I think you can find it on YouTube.
You.
It was called Mechanized Death.
Oh, yeah, see? See, that they're just basically hear you typing. Don't look it up. I don't want you to look it up. Mm-hmm. My heavens, I don't want to see any of that.
Yeah, mechanized
stuff.
Death.
Yeah. They show you the aftermath of bad crashes.
Oh,
and
they
like,
drag bodies out of the car. Yes. I mean, it's the whole thing. Johnny
and his friend tried to beat a train.
Yeah. And it's, you don't want to see any of that.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. No. Maybe that would, although, have you noticed it has nothing to do with like the actual like teaching kids to drive safer? It's just almost totally about the cars being more safe these days. I saw a massive accident today on Foothill. There were 45 airbags deployed. You know what I mean? Every window in that thing, and all these, and all the cars that were involved, all had that white, you know, curtain of airbag. And I'm thinking, this is, we are in a crazy age.
That's right. Human error will always be human error. The reason why,
and kids are dumb, and that'll happen.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, man. So I completely agree with you. It's all about the safety features in cars. That's what does the job, and that's why
Dave Colley just walked by, by the way.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, I think he
grab him. See what he thinks of your James Dean idea.
No, he's. I think he walked to the bathroom.
Yeah,
I should. I should wave him in and go, Dave. What's up? So, what's your next tragedy?
We're thinking series three.
Have you heard of mechanized death before? Or maybe you get to see how they made those things.
So, that's why I'm not driving my car, because you know I got a new car.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I'm not driving it on the freeway ever.
They said, I will tell you right now, they said part of the accident was the silver color of the Porsche. And I happen to know for a fact that your car is silver.
It is silver, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so but that car that I have, I love driving it to work and back, you know,
Buick
every morning.
Skylark,
it's beautiful, wonderful
1997 Buick Skylark. I thought that was a great choice by you.
Yeah, right. And but I'm never driving it on the freeway. And I told my kids, like, guys, this car is 40 miles an hour max. You know, 40, 45, you know, that's like as fast as you'll ever go on streets. Don't go faster than that. It's a death trap.
Yeah,
it can go 120 miles an hour.
Oh, it can? It doesn't have like a get. It doesn't have a real get up and go though, does it? It's got that lag. I know about it. I've driven that same type of car.
It's a V8, so it'll get up and go, but not like off the line.
A little bit of a boat. They're heavy.
But it's you know, it's a death trap,
good
man.
For you.
It's a death trap. So you
hey, everybody, Ethan's doing really well. Okay, he just wanted to let you know.
I paid almost $8,000 for a new car. I don't know if you guys know this. I don't know if you...
You know what's funny is I'm trying to convince my wife.
I'm a pretty big deal.
I'm trying to convince my wife for another car. I would never say a new car because that'll never happen in our lives. Yeah. But I don't know. It doesn't even matter how much success we can have as a couple. She's like, I'm never buying a new car. Are you kidding? So I don't
know.
I said, honey, that just keeps our self-esteem low. We can't achieve unless we get a brand new car. Come on. So I don't know. I think I'm consigned to I will always be the thing I will always have is just a used car that'll carry a lot of kids in it. That's kind of my thing.
Well, but you're not gonna have kids forever. Yeah. They're gonna move on, go do other things with their lives, stop
you
calling
say
you.
That. You say that, but at this rate things are not it looks the opposite.
Look,
so.
I know it seems interminable. I know parenting seems interminable. But you know, I think I've got about 10 more years of kids in the house. And then in terms of cars, Alex, everything's going to change.
Sky's the limit.
And you know what's going to happen is once you reach that point.
Everything's going to be electric,
yeah. And
automated. By then, we won't even want cars. You whistle into your watch, and then a car shows up and takes you, with nobody driving it, and takes you to your next destination.
Or you're going to come home one day and you're going to say, Colin, look at my new jetpack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to say, you got a new one?
Yeah.
Because
you know,
as soon as you lift off from the jetpack lot, thing loses a third of its value.
Well, and not only that, if you ever lease a jetpack, you're a fool. Everyone's dad's lessons start coming back again. I'm going to be honest. I always look at leases and go, why are they foolish?
I don't think they're as foolish as people say.
Yeah.
As long as... What you do is you consign yourself to always paying for a car.
I will not own this car.
Permanently monthly payments, but you get a new car every couple of years. So if you're fine with that, if you're fine with just always having, you know,
it's true.
A couple $100 in car payments and you don't care, it's part of your lifestyle.
Which we don't have. That's part of the problem.
We've paid off cars
and that's our dream. We're living the dream.
You're living the dream, man. Yeah. You're doing it.
Hey, my neighbor over-fertilized his lawn. Mm-hmm. And just burned the crap out of it.
Oh, did
and
he
it's
really?
His prize and it's his pride and joy. And couldn't help but get a little bit of a stinks to be you, buddy.
I finally diagnosed a major lawn problem.
What was it? Bugs?
Yeah.
It's those bugs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
did you hit it with that
I haven't put anything down yet. I just discovered this over the weekend because I had a break in a water line, in a sprinkler line.
Yeah.
So I had to dig it up. I'm still in the process of digging it up, by the way.
Do you have grubs or what?
Yeah, man. Giant white grubs that are probably, man, an inch to an inch and a half long.
Yeah, fry them up. See what happens.
And I threw them out in the street and some birds ate them.
Yeah, of course.
And I found two and I was like, geez, what are these? And then I looked it up, and and then all of a sudden everything became clear. I was like, holy cow, this is what the problem
is. Look, you're going to be hosting the garden show in a couple weeks.
I am, so two Saturdays in June, I'm hosting the garden show.
Let me just dial you up here. Triazicide, okay?
Triazicide.
Found at any of your local home.
Yeah, I've seen it before. We've got an Ace Hardware right here near me. And
they're it's actually not expensive, and it seriously is one treatment. Like usually a year. You can just kind of, and it doesn't do anything to the rest of your lawn. Not a thing.
No kidding.
Triazicide, insect killer. Yep.
Yeah, I saw it. I noticed the bag because the bag that I saw had an exclamation point on it. So triazicide, exclamation point.
Oh,
I thought,
okay.
That's cool. Kind of interesting.
Well, just do that because it'll get that giant bag, get like the 40-pound bag and run that thing around and then keep the other half of the bag because that'll keep you for next year too. And no joke, and then you put that on before you water. It gets down in there and on the watering, and then bada bing, bada boom, you got no bugs. And then suddenly your lawn starts getting green again. It's kind of crazy.
Well, that's what I'm going to do because I overseeded the whole lawn, front and back.
Yeah.
So I put a lot of effort into it over the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. So I need to protect that. All right. So I'm going to do it because I found those grubs and boy.
And a picture of those bugs are on the bag too, of those white grubs.
Oh, are they?
It
really?
Actually says won't kill these. Won't kill these. Sorry. No. It's got
but drink this, and then you'll forget you have them in your lawn.
It says 100-plus insects. I'm like, whose lawn is that? Jeez.
I have ants on one side.
Hey, ticks on one of them, too. So if you've got Lyme disease situation here, then let's figure it out.
I guess Utah has ticks, but I've never once been bitten or known anyone who got bitten.
In Texas, it was always tick control. Everything was tick control all the time.
Yeah,
check your armpits, Boy Scouts. Check your armpits.
I don't know why people live in the South.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between the... You know, between the hurricanes and the
tornadoes
and the ticks and the fire ants, I just look at that and I just think, what kind of hellscape?
Alligators.
You get far enough down, it's alligators. Yeah. I mean, like alligator kid, kill the kid at Disney World, man.
I know.
I mean,
Dave Colley's looking into it. Jeez, that's
cold
terrible.
Episode.
That's terrible.
Cold season, season three. We'll do James Dean.
If I see him walk by,
then we'll do the homicide alligators.
homicide alligators. Jeez, you said
Crocicide.
You had something. You said you had something today. So go ahead, you go.
Oh no, I just had.
No, I want to do. I want you to.
I've loved our conversation.
I know.
I know you don't have a ton of time today.
I know, but I'm fine right now. I'm good.
I know you've got to go and do your.
I'll do it.
Oh,
it's fine.
Oh.
Yeah, bring it up.
I wanted to ask you though.
Yeah.
Because I tried to tee up a little internet video for you and Scott.
Oh.
I don't know if you got to it.
Oh, we did. No, we saw it.
There's a video that went viral over the last week or two.
Yeah. It's hard to
watch. Two kids in
man.
A drill, in a football drill. And these kids are, what would you say, to 8 years old?
I think it said that they were seven.
Seven? Okay. Mm-hmm. So seven
so
years
kind
old.
Kind of the very early end of when you can start full contact football anywhere in the country.
And they're running this drill. The kid comes up and they hit helmet to helmet right in the forehead. And one kid is just laid out. And it's one of those.
It's blood curdling. It really is like a bad.
It whips the kid. It whips the kid to the ground.
Yeah. The head. It's not like he hits the ground and like he hits the mass of his body first. His head
hit first.
Hits the ground.
He whipped down.
And then
you heard one or two adults laugh.
Yes, and it was terrible.
And I think that should be.
Did you read that guy got fired, though, like right after that video
happened? Oh, he did. Oh, thank goodness.
He was fired after that video had happened. So I guess that hit happened last fall, last September, and he was fired by October because the league got word of that hit. That video, this is kind of, I guess, the iteration of that video getting around at a national level.
Mm-hmm.
It had already gotten around on some local level where it happened, and that guy was fired for that. You don't run
well, good. I think if you tee up kids like that in that situation and laugh when they just get smoked, I think that's instant jail time.
I can't tell you how many times I've been around that situation and the coaches who go, "Ooh, you're all right, get up." And you're like, I can't tell you how many times I've been around that. And like, when you're a kid, you internalize that and you think,
This is what it is.
This is how you play. This is how you play. Yeah, and it was bad.
I'll tell you.
That poor kid who hit him, too, all he's told is, you need to do this, otherwise you're not a tough kid. You know, this is how you have to hit people.
And then he's hitting dangerously. He learns it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think it's so sad because, you know, I like football a lot. And I think that people are unfair about football. But they're not being unfair about head injuries.
No.
I think people are being realistic about head injuries, but overall in the overall sport of football, I think we're being unfair about it. You know what the thought crossed my mind? And I'm gonna kind of tiptoe this out just with a little baby step, because I want to be understood. I don't want to be misunderstood.
You know what it feels like? A little bit of this.
Is that a headline?
Yeah, why not?
This headline should be
the guy got fired, right?
Like, this is a fairly straightforward football take. Oh no, it could be. Yeah, the guy got fired.
Zen headline.
I feel like that drill would have been 100 times safer had they not been wearing helmets.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly right.
And I think that maybe what a way out. And I'm just tossing this out here for conversation purposes.
That's like the rugby philosophy.
Yes.
The
rugby is a perfect example. Okay, rugby, no helmets, fewer head injuries.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe football ought to be no helmets, no pads up through a certain age.
Well,
where you can learn.
That's the part where you lost me, you communist.
But see, you learn how to hit, you learn how to do all these things, and then when you get up to a point where, you know, the helmets and the pads and things can come out, and I don't know, I watched that and I thought maybe the helmets in this situation are part of the problem, because those kids were seven, their helmets were enormous. I mean, it looked like they were wearing their dad's helmets.
Then people think, well, they're big helmets, so they obviously have enough padding in there, and it's like
no. It's not about
space
the padding.
For it to knock around. Yeah,
yeah. It's not about the padding.
Hey, Millard, people can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found. You can always hit us with a Zen headline, hashtag Zen headline. Also, on the next podcast, Ethan, this week. Hey,
yeah.
See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I think we should try to figure out ways to convince my 12-year-old that he should get the vaccine.
Oh, is he hesitant?
A little hesitant. And I know your thing is you're my kid. I'm dragging you to the vaccine place.
Yeah. I've already done that with two of my kids. Yeah.
I want to get tips because I only have one that's in the age range, and I want to see what the tips are to be able to get those kids to do it. So for Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you next time, everybody.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.